Welcome back to Bringer's Climate and Sustainability Trailblazers podcast with me, Emily Fraumont. In part two of our discussion, we continue to talk about the importance of purpose with Dee Corrigan from Blueprint for Better Business and Sally Gray from Bringer.
What's your take on financial services' role, and actually, do they need to have purpose in order to deliver a more sustainable world? Are those two things actually intrinsically linked, or can we think about them separately?
Well, first of all, again, I would say we're using the language of purpose and sustainable carries as much confusion as purpose does. So it all depends on the interpretation of these things. So how are you connecting them? They have to work together, right? Like, so in our view, one outcome of a purpose-led organization is that it is sustainable and that it supports more broadly a sustainable society and sustainable ecosystem. So that's one thing. And I think, you know, if you think about where a lot of financial services, or even more specifically banks, I think they've become very disconnected with what their role is in society. Mm. And it's hugely important, and you think about it in the context of cost of living now, that they start to ask these deeper questions. Because I don't think businesses can't survive on a burning planet. Businesses can't survive in an unhealthy society. So unless we start to ask these questions, you know, our businesses, our world, our societies are unsustainable. We're on an unsustainable path. So we have to ask, what is our role, and how are the products that we're producing, the services that we're providing, actually supporting people and planet and not disconnected from that? So yeah, they're inextricably linked, but I would say both of them carry different views and different interpretations. So an important part of this work is to start to get clear on what those definitions are and how they connect. How each organization does that may be slightly different. And I think there's a huge debate happening online around what the definition of sustainable is. Is it a verb? Is it a noun? You know, all of these things. I don't think we'll ever land on perfect definitions for any of these things, but it's to create space for that dialogue so that we deepen our understanding. And as you come up against key decisions, are you creating the space for that conversation, how you frame it, both in a purposeful lens, but then it may be you also want to maybe question it from a sustainable perspective. So for example, you might come up with an answer that framing a decision in your purpose might lead you to, but you might want to say, well, if we think about these within the planetary boundaries, do we come up with the same answer? So it might be looking, using that language and looking at it from different perspectives.
Thank you. Curious to know from you, Sally, in your work with clients on this topic, are they struggling with the linkages between purpose and sustainability? And how are you seeing them kind of break through this thinking to get to something that feels coherent for them, and then something they feel able to communicate both internally and externally?
Totally. And I know Dee's also been working some interesting banks in this, and I'm sure she'll come on to bring some examples in as well. But I think the core question for banks and financial institutions to ask is, what are we in service of? And what is, even if we just take a products and services lens, you know, what is that in service of? How are we best serving our clients? And how are we providing the appropriate services for our customers in the broader sense? And how, you know, are we providing, you know, ensuring the communities we serve are well supported by financial institutions, be that through banking services or insurance and so on? And I think once you connect with that, it becomes much easier to define the material issues. So is that about how you service the underbanked or the unbanked, for example? Or is that about how you enhance financial literacy? Or is that how you empower female entrepreneurs who are historically very poorly served by financial institutions? So I think once you connect with, you know, what's important to us as a financial institution, it becomes easier to cut through to those material issues and say, oh, actually, this is what, you know, to use the cliche, this is what gets us out of bed in the morning. This is how we serve our customers and our communities. And this is how we connect beyond our four walls. And I think it's that real grist of why are we here that begins to unlock some of that complexity. But Dee, I know you've been working with organisations on this, so you probably have some really rich examples as well.
Yeah, I think the financial health is a really interesting one, because, so I think one of the ways that we help companies to break this down is first of all, look at what is it that you're doing within your organization that might be causing harm? And first of all, address and stop that. Then look at your products and services and understand what more can we be doing, or what needs, like look at the needs of society, allow that to influence your strategy and the products and services that then come from it. I do think sometimes organizations just start to tweak around the edges of what they already do. And I think you're really limiting the potential and the innovative creativity within the organization by staying there. So how is actually getting a closer and a deeper understanding of the needs of society going to influence actually what you do? And in some cases, that might mean pivoting, kind of changing what you do completely. A third level, though, is, and this is, you know, if I take the example of financial health, there may be some things that you as one organization alone can't address. And that's where you need to work in cooperation, sometimes with your own competitors, with the government regulation, with charities, NGOs, to try to address those issues and needs. So there is no point continuing to educate people around financial health if what they don't have is money in their back pocket, right? And I think the cost of living certainly is raising this, crisis is raising this more to the fore. So there you might need to actually work at a systemic, and that is a role a bank can play. They understand how capital flows in society, or they have the potential if they really want to understand how capital flows. So I think those three levels: do no harm, address some of the kind of issues, the toxic ills sometimes that we talk about, then look at your products and services, not just improving what you're currently doing, but actually how can you start to do your strategy different by looking to the needs of society? And third, then, how do you look at this more systemically? Some of those issues that you as one organization can't address, how you can work and collaborate with others to address those things.
Thanks, Dee. Just curious to know, is there anyone you'd say, particularly in financial services, is doing a good job of this? Or at least I suspect doing a reasonable job might be the answer that you give us.
I mean, this is always super tricky, not just within financial services, but across the board, right?
Because I can imagine.
You can look at, we're always looking, we're always asked that question, give us the best example. And the thing is organizations are groups of people, right? So like there might be some aspects in which the organization might be doing some good, and, you know, but there'll always be the potential for issues there as well. I'm going to mention NatWest because they're the company that we've done the most amount of work with in the financial services sector. I think they're at the very early stages of this under Alison Rose's leadership. But I think for me, they're an organization that are looking at both the impact that they can have, how they can limit the negative impact, but also what's the positive impact that they can start to have. And really redefining what that purpose is and how, not just what their strategy is, but how they're going about doing their strategy as well more effectively. Again, trying to better understand the needs of society. But I also think they recognize the big, deep cultural shift unpicking some of these assumptions about the role of business and people requires, and that you're looking at everything from the operations to, you know, people capability, decision capability, how people are showing up, leadership. So I really feel like they're just having a good go at this at the moment, and it's messy work. I think they recognize the messiness of it, but I think the intent is there, would be my sense of that work. And I certainly think the openness at which they engage with us and the learnings that we have captured from that work, because, you know, just take a step back, one of my work is to engage with organizations like NatWest to help them on this journey, but other aspects of our work as well is to help build this movement more broadly. And that is by capturing the learnings from other organizations and sharing that. So I think they understand that they are part of this movement, and to really create this movement, you have to be good at being open and honest and vulnerable about what's hard. And I get that from them. So,
yeah. So the right behaviors, it feels like, is what they're starting with.
Probably
early
right
on the journey.
Right intent.
So we had Rishi Madlani on our from NatWest on our first podcast, which was fantastic to hear from him on all things sustainable.
Adding to the NatWest fan club, obviously Coutts have just become recently become a B Corp, as have we, waving the B Corp flag. So it's quite interesting to see part of the NatWest family stepping into B Corp and being, you know, identifying themselves being purpose driven and going through that certification, which we know is very rigorous. So again, I think that's testament kind of to this intent that you were talking about, Dee, about if you really believe it, then they've given permission within the NatWest family for them to really explore what purpose means for them, even in the financial services context.
Thanks, Sally. Another interesting one. Dee, you talked earlier a little bit about, essentially, we went through a process earlier in the century, or the 19th century, I should say. I'm showing my age now. We went through a process where, as you said, one set of economists won out on another set of economists, which largely said everything's about capitalism and economic value and other things aren't considered. There are a lot of people that remain in the world who still aspire to that set of thinking, and they believe that that's absolutely right. How do you kind of persuade those naysayers that actually taking a more balanced, kind of triple bottom line-based view is appropriate and can drive additional value?
Alex Edmonds' work has been helpful in me understanding this a little bit more. First of all, I think it is important to understand the context of what was happening, you know, around the time that Milton Friedman came up with his perspective on the role of business in society, and partly because there was no accountability. So organizations were maybe misusing capital. And so I think there is a nervousness now, if you think, you know, if I was to try and believe in positive intent behind most people's views, I do think that there's a nervousness that through becoming purpose-led, that people lack focus, and that it can come down to whims as to whether you do one thing or not, or stand out on one issue or not. And so I think there is a concern there around purpose that I think if you understand that, or at least get curious about it, can help you then respond more effectively. So I think one thing I do whenever I feel kind of a pushback against our work is to get curious as to why that is, trying as much as possible to assume a positive intent behind that. And then from there, you can maybe explore those issues or those challenges that they have. We also try not to use the word capitalism, trying to avoid that kind of language because it can polarize people quite quickly. I think my sense, especially leaders coming through now, is that they see the complexity much more. I mean, the complexity was always there. It's just getting harder to control, and that you can't control it, and you need something else. So I think there's limitations the way the current model is working. We're well up against, if not beyond those limitations. And so I think they recognize there's a need for a different way of being, a different way of showing up. And if you can tap into what maybe some of those concerns are, help them to build the understanding and the logic that maybe a different way of thinking about business can help to address this, then you can move from there. But I'm lucky that through my work, don't know if it's lucky, but because we're only working with a select few organizations to capture the learnings, we can go to where there is genuine intent and will to change. So we have walked away from some organizations where we don't feel like, where they might be instrumentalizing purpose. They only see it as this win-win. They see it as another way of just getting people to work harder and maximizing profit. So we can walk away to a certain extent. I am lucky in my role to be able to do that. But that doesn't necessarily address the broader question about how do we bring all organizations on this journey.
And I would add on that I tutor on the Cambridge Institute of Sustainable Leadership, Sustainable Finance course, which is taking a lot of professionals from wealth and asset management, banking, insurance and real economy through sustainable leadership, through sustainable finance over 8 weeks. I'm intrigued over the last year, the maturity of perspective of professionals coming through now is, you know, in the very early days, there's much more of a case to make in terms of that something in the system wasn't quite working, to now it's, you know, within week one, it's like, yes, we know the system isn't working. How do we fix it? And it's been really interesting over the last 12 months. And I don't know if that's a legacy of COVID, COP26, so on and so forth. But particularly in financial institutions, I'm just seeing this groundswell of perspective that we know the system isn't quite working. How do we go beyond pivoting to put methods and means in place so that it is working for more people more of the time?
I would agree with that. There's definitely less of us having to do the typical pitch around this and more about helping them to problem solve, answer questions, get to root issues. So I'd agree with that, yeah.
And I wonder to what degree, we've obviously seen a lot of regulation in financial services, specifically around climate and around D&I. I actually think some of that's definitely raised a lot of awareness. We see a lot of activity in financial services, and I think a lot of that is partly through to the, I was going to say large amounts, but I think it's the tip of the iceberg, to be perfectly honest. The large amounts of regulation that currently are, with much, much more to follow.
So. Yeah, I think that's tip very true in Europe and the UK, definitely. And I think the US and our Asia-Pac friends and colleagues are looking at us saying, how do we have some of that in some ways? How can we get that spur to our activity as well? So whilst it's additional admin often, I think it has changed people's perspective on a lot of these matters as well.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just really interested, you talked a lot about kind of your work with clients there, Dee, and interesting perspective that you sort of walk away from some clients potentially if you really don't feel that they've kind of got the right mindset or they're ready to start on their journey. We need, I think, everyone to move on that journey and be ready. So I'm just really interested to hear from you about what you think the biggest challenges are in financial services to support them in building a kind of credible, purpose-driven business.
So my points here will be broader than financial services because we work with a range of organizations. So so one goes back to probably a point I've made a number of times in different ways in this organization. I think a lot of companies have gone down the purpose route because it's been trendy, there's a lot being written about it, but they haven't asked the deeper questions as to what it means to be purpose-led. And now they're 2 or 3 years down after launching the purpose statement with the usual comms and marketing around it, and they're not getting the superficial benefits, business benefits from it, and they're asking.
Purpose washing, should we make that?
A bit purpose washing. Some maybe intentionally so, some maybe didn't just ask the right questions and weren't clear in the decision they were making in becoming purpose-led. And they've been using purpose more as a management tool and kind of skirting around the edges. And I think one thing we're seeing as a result of that has been CSR, sustainability strategies, on steroids, but not actually changing the core business of what the business is here to do. And then what we see is they, you know, one of the things we'll hear is, you know, we get purpose, but our middle management, they're frozen. And I think if senior leadership haven't resolved, haven't openly discussed things like the relationship between purpose and profit, explored what is the decision we're making in becoming purpose-led, then those tensions start to emerge in middle management. And we hosted an event one time, and there was one lady there, and there was a big discussion about how do we unfreeze the middle. And she said, well, who froze them in the first place? And so I think, you know, again, getting to the point that actually they hadn't asked some of the deeper questions and that tension sits with middle management. So I think we often hear this, oh, we get it, but middle management don't. It's getting stuck there. I think the other issue is organizations take a top-down approach to it. And we're very aware as a charity, because we're a small charity, six of us, I'm mainly focused on the corporate work. We mainly work with the top leadership. And we're very aware that actually we can reinforce this mentality of top-down. So we try to work with that. And I think, not work with it, but to really challenge that mentality, because it goes again to the utility maximizing rational person, you know, that's top-down. We set metrics, we'll be able to control and solve for purpose by setting a bunch of metrics, and then everyone else will follow. That reinforces like this kind of parent-child mentality in organizations, doesn't really create an adult-to-adult, safe, conscious, innovative, creative organizations. People are performing to a metric rather than thinking more broadly. So I think that's one issue. Another thing that's coming up a lot actually in our engagements is people just feeling the busyness in organizations and the quantity and the volume of work. I think that has been felt a lot because of the cost of living crisis, because I think there's a fear in the system about jobs. And I think people are just getting busy to try and prove their worth, rather than actually, I think purpose requires you to slow down a little bit, be more deliberative in what you're doing, sometimes doing less rather than more, and really thinking about the intention behind the work. Now, what can happen, though, is sometimes people slow down too much and they aim for perfection because they are worried, you know, about being called out about, you know, certain things that they're doing. So what we try to say is slow down, be clear in your intention, and then experiment. And set these things up in a way that you're learning from what you're doing, and you're not just trying to get all your ducks in a row and everything perfect before you start. But be really mindful of the busyness in the organization and what might be driving that busyness. I think the other thing is competitive nature within organizations, especially when we get to that third level of looking at things through a systems lens and collaborating. The language in organizations is often, you know, to win. We're going to win through purpose. How can we win a purpose better than our competitors? I mean, that's not purpose-led type leadership. It's not purpose-led organization, especially when you start to really ask some of the deeper questions around what might be happening in the system and how do we collaborate. And then I think another really, and this is a very emerging issue. I think it's always been there, but it's emerging a little bit more. And this is where businesses, when you start to think about your role as part of society, not apart from it, and you start to think about how do you deliver value for society. So we often have organizations where their purpose statement might end in a better future for all or a better for people and planet. It's how do you actually come up with what is better for people and planet? How do you negotiate that rather than impose it on people? That then kind of comes out when it comes to issues that organizations feel like they ought to make a stand on and what they're not standing out on. And how do they do that in a way that is really anticipating the emerging issues, how you respond to it, but not in a way that your response actually further polarizes society. So I think this issue about when you start to think about your role in society, start to think about a healthy democracy. And this is, in particular, I think people with an eye to business in the US are a little bit concerned that that trend might follow here. So how are you with and alongside all your stakeholders in understanding that better world, that healthier planet for people, in a way that you are co-creating the answers to that and not imposing the answers to that, and not standing out on issues that actually give you a short-term good feel, good kick, maybe a boost in employee engagement, maybe a boost in customer views, but actually in the long run might be causing broader issues and societal issues. So that's definitely an emerging area that is coming up more and more in our engagement with businesses.
Interesting. I think we saw some interesting media coverage over the weekend about Halifax and its response to customers, which you could argue, I suppose, might not be creating a healthy democracy and actually polarizing views potentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Because Sally, from your point of view, given the issues that, or the challenges that Dee's outlined, kind of what advice and guidance do you have around how the best ways to overcome those?
I was reflecting on this a lot today for various reasons. I boil it down to three things, which is head, heart, and hand. We need to understand the business case, and we need to understand what we ultimately want to achieve. But I think we also need to hold, as we were saying earlier in the discussion, how we need to hold the money narrative lightly and understand what is the case for our organization and what we're in service of. And that's kind of the head case, if you like, in the best possible way. I think there's the heart case around what does it really take to change in this organization. And we've all seen sort of icebergs which recognize that structures and beliefs sit below the surface. And if you're really going to change an organization to address some of these challenges, your purpose is a way into that, to be able to communicate what your authenticity is really about, and to not just say it but show it in some of the theory of theory of change, in terms of, you know, how you're addressing some of these behaviors and beliefs deep in the organization. So enabling purpose to be in all levels through the organization and permeate that middle layer, as Dee was saying. And the third strand for me is around the hand, which for me comes to kind of what are leaders in all aspects of the, in all areas of the business doing, and how do they demonstrate purpose-led leadership through both the values they hold, the agility and empathy they have around some of these challenges, but how they feel equipped with both the soft and the technical skills to address some of these issues that we're seeing now, whether we call it ESG, sustainability, so on and so forth. How are leaders equipped and enabled? And I think if you can address that, some of those what do we need to address from a business case? What are we really in service of? How do we change this organization? And how do we equip leaders with the skills? I think if you can get those three things right, you're halfway there in terms of being able to overcome some of these obstacles that we see.
And Dee, anything you wanted to add on that?
I agree with everything that Sally mentioned there. I think one thing we, again, a question we often get asked is, how do we embed this in an organization? Mm. And we often try to challenge that idea of embed, because I think with it, again, it depends on how you define it, kind of comes a top down, we're going to put the purpose into the organization and push it down. Whereas actually, it's much healthier to think about how do we create the conditions for purpose to emerge. Oftentimes, you have all the skills and the will in the organization, but it's actually changing the conditions. And that then leads to how am I showing up as a leader? So I think just being really mindful about that, the language that we're using, not forcing this on people, but recognizing that in the right conditions, this is actually something that is more intuitive to us. But we just have to unhook from the various assumptions and systems and beliefs that we have for a very long time driven how business is organized. So a little bit easier said than done, of course, but this isn't a linear thing. You know, you can have certain inputs into this, and then you have to have a real awareness of how the organization is responding. You need to have some structure, but to recognize within that structure, you have to work in a very emergent ways.
Fascinating. Well,
thank you for listening. Really hope that you enjoyed the perspectives of our guests and how putting purpose at the heart of your business can drive lasting transformational change. I really would encourage you to explore this topic in more depth, and a good place to start is with the book Dee mentioned in part one, Growing the Pie, How Great Companies Deliver Purpose and Profit, by Alex Edmonds.